Up to today, Tesla has generally been seen as a car company, but soon, and I'm talking really soon, this year, Tesla energy business is about to shock the world. Now, I bet you didn't realize, but Tesla's energy business is already expected to sell $2 billion, not in 2025 like the Wall Street analysts are estimating, but likely by the end of this year. To verify that Tesla is already producing and selling energy storage battery packs called Megapacks in larger numbers than expected, you will not believe what our incredible guest that we have today did. He and others camped out at Tesla's factory in Lathrop, California for 144 hours straight. That's 24 hours a day for 6 days. They counted painstakingly how many Megapacks were leaving the factory and being delivered. Only in this way can we get a good idea of how productive Tesla Lathrop factory is already, and that allows us to forecast. So a Megapack is a giant battery system the size of a semi-trailer. Dozens of these can be grouped together to smooth out the electricity generated from a solar or wind farm. A single Megapack is sold at about $2.1 million each, with discounts for larger volumes. With a current 2-year backlog from customers like utilities and corporations, this is serious business. So why does this matter? Because Wall Street and investors have not yet factored in this business unit into the Tesla stock price. And we're talking about just the Lathrop Megapack factory, which is capable of manufacturing 10,000 Megapacks or 40 gigawatt hour per year once production hits capacity. Tesla has stated they're on path to reach a staggering 3 terawatt hours of total capacity between both auto and energy storage by 2030. 3 terawatt hours is 75 times more than 40 gigawatt hours. That's 75 factories like the one they have in Lathrop, California. The recent announcement of 100 new gigawatt hours of capacity at Gigafactory Nevada, and just last month, they announced a new Megapack factory in Shanghai, China. As far as we can see, the demand for Tesla's Megapacks will vastly exceed supply, almost infinite, according to Elon Musk. This is so exciting. We're joined today by Bradford Ferguson. Welcome, Bradford. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Herbert. Thanks to be here, and I'm excited to share my insights that I've learned.
Thank you, Bradford. So Bradford is a financial advisor who co-founded Halter Ferguson Financial. If you'd like help managing your investments, check them out. One of the divisions they have at their firm is called Rebellionaire, which can be found at rebellionaire.com. Bradford helps people he calls rebellionaires. So if you are the kind of investor who prefers to invest heavily in one stock or a handful of stocks, Bradford will help you manage your concentrated position by adding, trimming, and the selective use of options. What's unique about Bradford is that he has broken news about Tesla 3 times. So he was first to warn that Elon Musk would be forced to sell Tesla stock to pay taxes from the exercise of his 2012 options. He was also first to realize that the Inflation Reduction Act would provide $45 per kilowatt hour to EV battery makers. And third, as you heard earlier, he staked out Tesla's Lathrop Megapack factory to measure the production over a full week in March. So I'll put the link to these 3 videos in the description, as well as the 18-page Tesla stock valuation report he created with Matt Smith. All right, let's go, Bradford. Help us get brighter about Tesla energy. Okay. Thank you so much, Bradford. You have been following Tesla energy quite closely, and we're all getting kind of excited, particularly because most analysts have not yet put this into their estimates, although it's starting to happen, I think. And so do you still think that we're going to hit the $2 billion of run rate by the end of this year, while most analysts are still forecasting it to 2025?
I certainly think it's possible. The analysts are saying $2 billion in 2025 in profit. And according to my numbers, my stakeout from Lathrop, the Megapack factory there, they'll be making about $400 million in additional profit per quarter just at the current rate. But if they're able to, they're not actually at capacity or even close to capacity. So if they double their current run rate, they could be much higher. So I think it's certainly possible by the end of this year, or maybe going into Q1 of next year. And that what I think that would be a big surprise to Wall Street, because they're thinking it's going to take till 2025 for Tesla to get to that spot.
Do you think that forecast by the Wall Street folks might have changed because of the earnings call? because what I found interesting about the earnings call, and I'm curious to see what you thought, was that the analysts actually themselves brought up Tesla Energy 4 times. Mm-hmm. And I was also very excited when I heard that Tesla was saying that they're going to start reporting on Tesla Energy by the end of this year, Q3 or Q4. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Yeah, I wonder if some of them saw my video or saw some of the other drama before this. What management said is that they're targeting gross profit of about 25%. Our analysis shows it could be as high as 50% or higher. Because of just the pricing and the cost of Tesla and how these new contracts are. We don't know when that'll start to hit, but you know, maybe management is being conservative. Mm-hmm. They talked about how they plan for a product. They want the gross profit to be around 25%. So I was actually slightly disappointed by that, but I think mm-hmm. over time, the gross profit will come down. It certainly is a competitive market, and Tesla wants to have the highest scale, which mm-hmm. could help with their costs and their gross profit. But there are other competitors who are actually providing batteries to Tesla. So you have BYD, not yet providing batteries, but CATL and LG are in this. There's a bunch of other small players in North America, and probably some other players in Korea and Europe as well. So certainly that profit level could come down over time, but it's an area of Tesla's business where, you know, just Wall Street isn't doing anything. And at the current run rate for Lathrop, it would provide a 13% earnings boost to Tesla's earnings currently if it started to hit the financials. And it can hit the financials on a delayed basis. So we're anxious for when that finally happens.
Yeah, this is great. So you, Matt Smith, Zero Sum Game, a user in Twitter, and another one, JP on Twitter, you guys have been doing deep dives into this business. And what's your opinion at this point from what you've seen with all the factories, the announcements of Shanghai, Nevada expansion, and Lathrop progressing quickly? Are you getting excited? Are you thinking that, like they said, that by the end of this year, they themselves, Tesla said, that they're going to start reporting on this. So what's your sense of progress at this?
I think it's exciting. Our 2025 projection for Tesla is they do 90 gigawatt hours for that year. Whenever we make a projection, we try and make it so that there's an equal chance that it'd be above or below that number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they're at a higher gross profit rate, it could mean really big profits. It could be like 100% of their current profits. I know that's in the future. So like you're talking about an area of Tesla's business where it may help them double or triple their overall profits from here. What they've learned at Lathrop is how it works, how the process works, where the bottlenecks are. I think according to call, Elon said that they were constrained as far as batteries and as far as what's called power electronics. And that power electronics go into the inverters, which are critical in moving from AC to DC or just managing the amount of power that comes from the batteries and goes into the batteries. So it's possible that it's not even the equipment at the end of the line at Lathrop that's the holdup. It could just be that they didn't ask for enough batteries and inverters. They were just a little cautious about the ramp. So I'm optimistic with Shanghai that mm-hmm. once they get it built, and they literally can put it in a 1 million square feet or smaller warehouse. And I think the capacity there could be 40 gigawatt hours, they say initially, but looking at Lathrop, and I cover this in my video, it looks like there's room for a second line. So I think Lathrop's capacity could be 80. Shanghai's capacity could be 80. So I think this is really exciting. And the good thing about Shanghai is Tesla knows what they need. So they can order the equipment they need. They know how fast they can ramp, and they could probably ramp faster in China. the Chinese workers are very hardworking and very quick. So I'm very excited about it. Elon also talked about Giga Nevada producing 4680 batteries and potentially a portion of that being for stationary storage. I don't know if they're going to send some of those to Lathrop or if they'll create another mega factory in Mexico or something like that.
Right. Okay, so I want to get to the Shanghai, but before I do that, one question about, do you think that there's a possibility that regarding the Tesla stock, when will the analysts start recognizing Tesla as not just a car company, but also Tesla Energy? So when they start reporting on Tesla Energy by the end of this year, and they need to have enough revenue, right? I don't know what amount that should be. Can you give me some guidance on that before investors will start seeing that Tesla is not just a car company? When do you think that might happen?
I feel like it has to happen by Q4 at the latest. But some of these projects that Tesla is installing the Megapacks in, they have this 5-year payout. So the contract, there's like these milestones in the contract where if it performs properly in year one, then they get 20% payout. And then year two, they get another 20%. And I'm unsure how much of that they've already worked through. So once they've worked through that, I feel like the revenue and earnings should be hitting faster. In Texas, there's a huge demand for these megapacks because of wind and solar. These megapacks help them stabilize that, and we'll get into that in a second. But a lot of their customers are in California right now, and supposedly those interconnects from the grid to the site where the megapacks are, those are getting delayed. But worst case, it seems to be like 9 months, hopefully, but we'll see. Eventually, it's going to start flowing through. We're just not sure when.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, apparently, right, stock investors are forward-looking. So they should kind of just see that these agreements were signed. They see that these megapack factories are being built. They can then go, okay, I better start modeling it, number one. Mm-hmm. And then two, you're right. You know, but you just said, right, the $2 billion run rate anyways, and then before the actual margins and all that hit. But still, there should be some change in the, I'm really hoping that at some point there will be a re-rating of the PE ratio for the company.
And even if you look at the gigawatt hours of storage deployed on the earnings presentation, there's a huge jump. So I think, you know, some forward thinking analysts, maybe Alex Potter or Pierre Farragut, they'll start modeling this in more. And then when the earnings start flowing through, whether it's Q4 or whenever it is, then it's going to be fairly undeniable for Wall Street. And maybe they won't give Tesla credit for their plans in Shanghai, but, you know, we'll know about it.
We'll know about it. Yeah. So this is exciting. I am getting excited. Now, the other two big news that happened in this year, right? One was they announced that Giga Nevada was going to expand the Megapack storage by 100 gigawatt hours. And then most recently, they announced a brand new Megapack factory in Shanghai. And so the Lathrop Megapack factory it was very quick, right? A year and a half to get out. From breaking ground to actual production. So what's your expectation for Shanghai? How fast do you think that might be built?
So Lathrop allegedly was announced September 2021. So they were close to ready September 2023. And then they started after that. So it's about a year in the US. I'm guessing it could be 9 months in China. Wow. And I don't see why the ramp would be like super fast. Essentially, these mega packs are like a server farm where you have this huge enclosure with racks and you have to do some special things that you put in there. There's heating and cooling that goes in to these batteries. There's also electrical, but that's also like computer server farms. You need to keep them cool. You need to collect connect the electricity and all the communications. So you're basically dropping these in. So it should happen pretty quick. You know, that's why some people got really excited about this at the beginning of the year or toward year end last year. Should happen pretty quick. I'm not sure of the 100 gigawatt hours for Giga Nevada, how much of that's going to be stationary. You know, maybe some of that goes to Model Y 4680 or semi or a van or Cybertruck. You know, we don't know, but I think it should be a meaningful contributor. Giga Texas, I don't think, is going to be limited to 40 gigawatt hours of 4680 as well. I'm guessing Giga Mexico is going to produce batteries. Mexico does have lithium, and there's a lot of trade connections with Mexico. There's a lot of factories in Mexico. So it's pretty exciting. And there could even be Megapack production in Europe. CATL's building a plant there. I think they're building it in Poland. You know, that's right next to where Tesla is. Tesla could put their Megapack factory in Poland.
Wow. Yeah, there's lots of activity right now. What did you take about the announcement that in Shanghai, in China, that Tesla has created a brand new corporation that Tom Zhu is chairman of? It's going to be kind of like separated from Tesla Corporation itself. But yet, of course, it's the same. It's like owned by Tesla. And they must have done that for regulations, but any thoughts on that?
Well, it is wholly owned by Tesla. So it would be in the financials. I think they needed that to maybe serve the utility market, the grid market, and to be able to offer these different products. So I think it's okay. And I think it'll be all right. It was cool to, you know, hear the announcement and the Tesla staked like $2 million of, you know, some kind of bond in the corporation. Utility companies or even companies that provide to utilities, they have to have a certain amount of financial strength. So Tesla may be adding more cash from China to that to boost the financial strength of that China energy division that they've created. That's called bankability. So you want to, if you're going to buy a bunch of batteries from someone, you want them to be in a strong financial position. And Tesla is, you know, as a whole corporation, they are. But also they'll make the subsidiary, you know, financially strong as well.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, you know, I want to show your video already about the Lathrop. Can we jump there first and then we'll backtrack a little bit, but I want to show them a lot of your video that you did because I was very, very impressed what you did. You discovered quite a number of things about Lathrop factory, the footprint, what the factories, what the buildings were doing. And then, you know, tell me a little bit about why you decided to do this. You want to get better visibility. And then what did you discover when you did this 1 week's of 144 hours of stakeout?
Yeah, I wanted to do it because there is a lot of profit potential in the Megapack. If you're putting these LFP batteries in there, liquid lithium iron phosphate, they're lower cost. You have the power electronics that go into them and all that. It should be highly profitable and they're in very high demand. You really need these to pair with utility scale wind and solar. You know, as you get more megapacks, then you can scale that faster and then it scales faster and then you need more stationary storage. So I thought this is important. There is a bunch of profit potential here and it's very underappreciated. So I wanted to see what level of production Lathrop had, see where they're really at. You know, some people were excited and thinking just because it's a very simple product that they were already producing at capacity, you know, in late Q4. But what I found, it wasn't quite that case, but it's still fairly exciting nonetheless. And then I found out a lot about Lathrop, the location of Lathrop. Can I get into that or?
Oh, please. Yeah. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to overlay the video. So
awesome.
Speak to the video that you created and
the stakeout video.
Yeah, stakeout video and both the layout.
Okay, I'll talk about the layout first. So Lathrop's very important. It's located in between Reno, Nevada, and the Fremont facility that's near San Francisco. It's very close to the port of Stockton, which is an inland port. It's got important rail connections, and it's near I-5, I-10? It's the inland interstate in California that goes to Southern California without needing to go on the coast. So it's very important. And it used to be that there's a city west of Fremont that was kind of like the suburb where people lived, where you know people would commute to Fremont or to San Francisco and then they'd come back. And now it's gotten pushed out to Lathrop, Stockton, and Modesto. And Lathrop's right in the center of that. So there's a ton of logistics, a ton of working class people, industrial. It's a really great spot for Tesla to be in. And what I found when I was there is that there's at least six buildings that are associated with Tesla. One of them is a parts maker that's dedicated to Tesla. It's called Simwon America. They're Korean, and they make body parts for Tesla. Tesla makes a lot of parts there. They're rumored to also make Powerwall there, castings. I saw the casting building. I saw some old two-piece Model Y castings hanging outside there. It's really exciting and interesting to be there. And I heard after my trip that there's two more large buildings that Tesla has, or maybe have eight, so maybe it's three more. Tesla is a huge operation at 1.3 million cars and growing, and you know certainly at a much higher run rate now. It's a big parts operation, big service operation. They run their own trucking logistics fleet. So sometimes they station the car carriers in Lathrop. So the site is very important. And then, It's just isolating that for you.
No. Yeah, I can see. And then I guess what we're hearing is, what you're saying is that there's so many things that we don't even know that Tesla is doing, and you're discovering that there's actually more buildings, more footprint, maybe, and they're doing a lot of things other than just the Megapack factories per se there, right? What was the most surprising thing that you discovered in terms of the buildings and what they were doing there?
Well, there was one more building that we all know about. There's a million square foot building in Houston. So that may be for parts. Maybe it might be used for Megapack. Certainly it's near all the stuff that Tesla's doing with refining in Texas. It's a crucial spot along the south of the United States interstate. So that interstate goes all the way through New Orleans and to the north side of Florida. On the Lathrop side, what's exciting there? I think I mainly covered it. I think I think Lathrop's in a great spot. It's just ideally situated. And, they're continuing to build out other warehouses. They just got another warehouse near Fremont. People are wondering, are they putting TeslaBot in there or whatever?
All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's just a warehouse that's a little closer to the interstate that connects to Lathrop. There's one interstate that goes southwest from Lathrop, and that interstate has been closed a lot, especially at night, and it may be impacting Tesla's trucking. Mm-hmm. So I guess I should get into Lathrop in the video.
Yeah. Let's do that. I want to see what you did, just stake out, and what you discovered.
Yeah. So I got help from three different people, and what I did was you just hang out near the gate. And the idea was you count the number of cars in the parking lot before, and you count the number, you count the number of megapacks in the parking lot before, and you count the number of megapacks after, and you look at the change. Did the number of megapacks in the parking lot grow or shrink? And then the other thing we counted was how many megapacks were trucked out of the facility. So essentially, we got a count of the production over 6 days. It was 24 hours a day. I did about 12 to 16 hours a day, and I got help for the other portions from some friends. So we were able to get a pretty good count. It's possible I missed a few myself. Yeah. I do have a little ADD, and it was very boring. So, you know, if they're at 10 megapacks a day, that's one megapack coming out every 2.5 hours.
Right.
And what I realized, you know, in day three or four is if they turn a certain way from when they pull out from the factory, like I could miss them. But it was really cool to see it happen. And the exciting thing is sometimes they'll all travel together. So I like to say megapacks hunt during the day. So these truckers like to go together in case something goes wrong and to keep each other company. And it's safer to go during the day. It's a very heavy load. Each of these megapacks is 82,000 pounds. So you see them coming out in these trailers, and they have these special red devices called straddle loaders where they lift them up out of the factory and then over to the parking lot. And then once the flatbeds come, then they lift them up, move them over to the flatbed, put them on top of there. And then we just counted how many came out, and I did a quick video of that. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to go ahead and say what we found?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, obviously. I'm going to overlay what you were, all this stuff as you're doing it.
So it was cool. The number that we counted coming out by truck was 42. Yeah. It's a fun number.
Yeah.
Right? And then the parking lot grew by about 16. So the number over 6 days was about 58. And if I missed a couple, you know, maybe it was 60. So it was about 10 a day. And the profit estimates that I gave earlier in the video cover that. So like I said in the call, they're battery constrained, they're power electronic constrained. So pretty soon, once they get that ramped, they'll be at 20 plus per day from Lathrop. I'm not sure if they can do 24. You know, 12 per day really doesn't seem to be happening in general. It seemed more aspirational.
Okay. So you said 10 per day, and each of these $2 million each, and then you said 25% margin before tax. Yep. But so how do you compare that then to the ramp, right? So that's what we're doing. Is this faster than what we expect? Is it slower because they didn't they say 10 gigawatt hour capacity Lathrop today, but they're shooting to get to 40 gigawatt hours by the end of the year, which is full capacity. Where does this land when you measured it was 10 per day? What does that mean?
It's definitely faster than the automobile business tends to ramp a factory. You know, maybe not compared to what Shanghai's done, but the other factories, it's definitely faster. And it makes sense because it's pretty simple. You know, what I've heard is the besides the very end of the process, the factory, the rest of the factory is capable of 24 a day. So the last hang up might be where they put in the batteries and the power electronics. That's the slow piece right now. Another thing that we were able to watch or look at was different shipping containers. So sometimes we could see shipping containers, and you on the back of the shipping container, you could kind of track where that came from. So we saw many of them, I think all of them came from China, but that, you know, it doesn't mean that it's batteries, but essentially each of these megapacks is almost all batteries. I'm not sure, maybe by volume it's 50% batteries. So each of these storage containers equals about 2 megapacks. So there's a lot of shipping containers, and it would be empty in China. It'd be loaded in about a day or so. It would take 19 to 21 days to land in California or get all the way to Lathrop. And you know, most of them hadn't been there that long. We were there in mid-March, and the ones that we looked at tended to be there from like February or so. There was one that was weird. It had been there since November.
Okay. So doing 10 a day, which is actually not pretty good, right? I don't know if you answered the question, right? How does that compare to the 40 gigawatt hour or 10 gigawatt hour that they said at this point? How many does 10 a day mean?
Yeah, thank you. So 10 a day means about 15 to 16 gigawatt hours or 14 to 16 gigawatt hours. So they're about 40% capacity.
Okay.
20 a day would be about 80% capacity.
Okay. So that's something like that. A lot more than what I heard at the earnings call. Maybe I misinterpreted what I heard there. Okay.
Well, if Powerwall and Giga Nevada are doing about 2 gigawatt hours, which is what was recognized in Q3 before Lathrop got going, then people are looking at the 3.8 or whatever was reported as they think that's what Lathrop did in Q1, but it's probably just what Tesla was able to recognize financially because of the, you know, how the contracts work.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you for doing that. So you basically said that there. I can't remember what you said. It's six. What percentage of capacity at this point?
About 40%. Yeah.
40%. Okay. And then you think that they might get to 80% by the end of the year?
Yeah, as long as they're getting the batteries and the inverters, they should easily be at 80. And you know, it's possibly they could do 24 a day, so they'd be at 100. You know, shortly after that, I think they would need to add some workforce, but I don't think that would be much of an issue.
Yeah. So 40% capacity—that's a lot. I'm happy with that. Yeah. Are you? Yeah, that's a good ramp up. And you know how things are, as we all know, they're slow at the beginning, and then as they get getting better, it should hopefully accelerate as opposed to linear growth rate.
Yeah, each one has an exponential ramp to it where it just seems slow at first and then it goes exponentially.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad that you did this because obviously now we have a, you know, much more, it's a data point for us to really know what's really going on. And it's important for us to know so we can forecast this. So that's great. And then you went through the financials and the impact to, you know, what the profit per share. Do you want to do that now or should we deeper dive financials later? Go ahead. Yeah.
So at 10 per day and 91 days per quarter, each of these megapacks is about $2 million. And at 25% margin before tax, like Elon and Zach were saying on the earnings call, and then you add a minimum tax rate in the U.S. of 15%, that's about $400 million of additional profit per quarter that's not really hitting Tesla's financials now. So you divide that by the number of shares outstanding, fully diluted, and that's 11 cents per share of additional profit or an increase of 13% to overall profits. And that's just Lathrop at 10 per day. And we've heard, you know, the holdup is supply of batteries, et cetera. So once they double that, then you know, we're looking at 22 to 25 27 cents per share of additional profit, an increase of 25%. I think the margins should be higher. So it could be higher than that. Maybe Elon and Zach don't want to say that to get you know, for competitive reasons. Then you add Shanghai to that, you're essentially doubling it. So it's at least like a 50% more profit versus what they're earning now at a 25% margin. But if it happens to be at 40% or more margin, I calculate the overall profit to be, I think it's like 12 billion or at least 10 billion. So last year, Tesla entire business did 12 billion in net profit after tax. So, 2025 Megapack can essentially double their profit.
Okay, yeah, we're going to pause a little bit. Let my brain catch up a bit. So within, what you said, once Shanghai's also moving along, so let's assume, you know, give them a year and a half. So from now, right? Because it should be a year to at least get going, and then there's slow ramp up. But by the time Shanghai
is
going,
it'll be a faster ramp at Shanghai.
It'll be faster ramp at Shanghai. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So you're saying that by Q2, or no, it'll start by Q2 24. And once the two together are happening, I'm missing some of the numbers you just said. But once you do, you're going to get to 50% of the profit that we're already making today.
Yes, that's... essentially, yeah, Tesla's profit today was $12 billion per year last year. So, you know, like it declined in the first quarter, but a lot of Wall Street analysts are saying Tesla's profit's roughly going to be equal this year, even though they're going to get scale from Giga Berlin and Austin, and Cybertruck will start to come on. They're saying it's roughly equal. So essentially, this added thing from Megapack that's not really hitting financials, I think, could do $10 to $12 billion in 2025. And in our report, we have it at $15 billion in profit before tax. That's really substantial. Wall Street's only at two. So they're greatly underestimating this area of Tesla's business and how fast we think it can happen. I think I'm being realistic. I went there at the factory and saw it for myself, and we showed you the video proof.
Yeah,
and I had people with me.
You're not making it up. No, but I mean, then I think you are being very conservative. I've been seeing what others have said, and you're, like you said, your projection is, I love the way you said it. It's like, you know, equally, kind of like, as long as it's equally either under or over, that's a good kind of target to say. And then but it's you know, right now after the earnings call, everybody was concerned that Tesla did not hit what they're guided for, which was, again, aspirational, 20% auto gross margin. They went to 18-something percent. But when this comes online, this is auto gross margin plus, I don't know, energy gross margin. Wouldn't that be great? That's going to happen by the end of this year. Zach Kirkhorn said that they're going to start reporting on energy, maybe, right, by the end of this year. And when they do, that's going to be great. There's going to be an auto, there's going to be an energy sales and energy profit, energy gross margin. And that's going to add to the gross margin. And that's where I'm really interested. At what point does Tesla stock get re-rated to be not just a car company, but also an energy company? And then it's going to be great. So that's,
I wish I knew at what point Wall Street and the public, or CNBC, New York Times, or whatever, will catch on. But it seems pretty inevitable. It reminds me of the time when we were all watching the drone videos of Giga Shanghai going up. We knew that the factory was going to essentially be done by the end of September. Tesla would have 3 months to get production, you know, start to get production dialed in there. And for some reason, it was a surprise to Wall Street and everyone when they started producing the Model 3 in Giga Shanghai. And we got this huge re-rating in the stock. So I'm not guaranteeing that a re-rating happens at all. I'm a financial advisor. I can't do that, but it's got to happen. I feel, my feeling, it's not financial advice, but my feeling is that it must happen at some point. And, my guess is like Q1 at the latest next year, that'll start to happen. But I'm thinking like Pierre Fergu or Alex Potter will catch on. They're a little more, open-minded and a little less conservative in their forecasting.
Yeah, and that's why the work that you're doing, this, I mentioned the other Twitter users, Megapack, Zero Sum Game, and JP, you and Matt Smith. Whenever you guys do things like this, you are talking to some of the analysts. Like you have been, I just saw you do a video with Gary Black. And then I know that he's been asking questions, and he's been starting to, you know, wanting to learn more from folks like you and Zero Sum Game to really understand, you know, what's going on with this business. But this is exciting, because what you just said was, you know, by the end of beginning of next year. So, you know, many of us are kind of depressed with the potential reduction in auto gross margin because of the mm-hmm. price cuts. But soon enough, a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, we're going to see significant, what you just talked about, significant margin additions.
Yeah, it's exciting, and Megapack to the rescue.
Megapack to the rescue. We should start tweeting that out. Megapack to the rescue. I like that a lot.
Megapack to the rescue. I have another hashtag. It's a little cheesy. I say Megapactory instead of Megafactory.
Yes, I like that. I love that.
I thought Elon said that on the call, but he has a little speech thing sometimes.
No, I love that. I didn't think that was a made up. I thought that it was a real thing. Megapactory.
Yeah. I think it was cool that analysts were asking about that. Yeah. And I'm excited for when they talk about it on delivery day. They called it day two. That's how they call it delivery day.
What are you referring to?
The production and delivery report that comes out on the second day.
Yes.
After quarter end. Typically comes out before noon. And they talk about production of Model S and X and deliveries, and then the same for Model 3 and Y and deliveries. Yeah. And they're essentially saying they're going to start to do that for Megapacks, which is exciting. Yeah. Also in the 10Q right now, for the first time last quarter, so Q4, I haven't seen the one for Q1 yet. It maybe came out today, but they disclosed the inventory for Tesla Energy. So they're going to start to break out these other things. I'm hoping that they start to talk about deferred revenue. So like if Tesla hasn't recognized a bunch of these financially, I'd like to know what portion of their overall firm-wide deferred revenue is from Tesla Energy. I'm guessing it may be substantial. And the other portion is customer deposits. When Tesla gets orders from these from customers, they tend to get 40 or 50% upfront. So to know, you know, what portion of that is from Tesla Energy, it could be like Powerwall or Tesla Solar, but that would be great information to have so that people can kind of model out how this is going to be recognized over time and how this is going to hit Tesla profits over time. So we don't have to like guess and speculate as much.
No, we don't even have to wait too long. Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about Megapacks, their customers, who's buying this? What kind of contracts has Tesla already have? What are the ways that they make money? Because I understand it's not just a sale of this battery alone. There's more to it. There's yearly service, those kind of things. Can you educate me on that?
Yeah. So make a note here to talk about yearly. So the way they get sold is let me start out with the customer.
Yeah.
So the customer for Megapacks is large utilities, and they tend to pair these with wind and solar. But also, Megapacks are a great replacement for peaker plants in the U.S. What peaker plants are, they're very expensive plants that maybe only come on less than 10 days of the year. And that's what makes them really expensive, because, you know, before, you know, other than that, you don't have people, you don't keep people in that power plant the rest of the year. So it's very expensive to get it going, get it ready, you know, have it work. So if you have a Megapack replacing one of these, utilities can save a bunch of money. But also with wind and solar, it's variable through the day. Solar gets boosted up around noon. And then at night, you have wind does really well at night, and it tends to balance out the solar, but there's, you know, parts in between where the battery really helps. And when you have excess power, it can cost the utilities money. There's times when power rates in California and Texas actually go negative, and the utilities eat a bunch of money potentially. So the batteries can help them mitigate this by, you know, buying when the power is going negative, and then, you know, selling it when it goes positive, and, you know, capturing that spread. So that difference in price is, that profit is something that the utility captures. But what Tesla does is they provide the software. So there's a, you know, some kind of annual license for the software. There's also an annual maintenance on the Megapacks, but a lot of the times it's just remote. So yeah, Tesla just, you know, running maintenance remotely on the Megapacks, you don't even have to send someone out there. So you're adding some recurring annual revenue. But I would caution people a little, because Megapack is growing so quickly that the recurring annual revenue is going to be a minor portion of the financials for a long time. It's only when that growth slows down that the recurring revenue will be meaningful. We're not totally sure what that is on an annual basis. You know, maybe it's 5%. We don't really know. I'm curious to find that out. And so that's kind of how it works. And let's talk about when Tesla gets paid for the actual Megapack, because I kind of jumped ahead to the annual. So let's say the Megapack comes out of the Tesla Lathrop facility. It gets delivered to the site. They need a crane at the site to take it off the truck and to put on a spot. Tesla builds these concrete pads, or maybe the contractor does. They put the Megapack on, they connect it, and they get it ready. Tesla doesn't necessarily get paid at that point. They might get some payment when it goes there, but contractually, Tesla also needs to make sure it gets energized and is working. So final payment isn't received until the Megapack is connected to the grid, and there's a waiting period for this. And, you know, we're not sure how long it could be. You know, sometimes it could be less than a month. It could be 3 to 9 months, and the wait in California is longer. So that's how they get paid. That's why we're uncertain about when it hits the financials, and and excited for when it finally does. But it's a great business for Tesla. We think the profits are pretty high. We think they're higher than Zach and Elon are saying. We're hopeful. You know, maybe hope isn't good, but that's kind of where we're at. And that's how things are recognized from a financial standpoint.
Yeah. So it's not just the sale of the Megapacks. There's a lot of surrounding potential service around it. These are much higher margins, and so it should boost the margins. So it's not going to be just, it's going to be a higher margin than cars, put it that way.
Yeah.
Very, very, very likely. And then tell me about the customers. There's 1,000 peaker plants in the US. Don't they have already contracts with, I wrote down something like 16 countries it's already been deployed at. So who are these utilities across the world that are buying it, but also the peaker plants, right? So there's quite a bit of opportunity here for customers. Who are their customers now, and who are they likely to win?
Yeah, it's the peaker plants in the U.S., but that's not the only peaker plants. One of the megapacks that Tesla features on their YouTube channel was a diesel plant in Europe, and it was noisy and polluting, and they replaced it with, you know, quiet batteries that don't pollute. So it's not just the 1,000 or so in the U.S. There's a ton all over, and there's probably a lot of very inefficient peaker plants all over. And then your solar and wind is growing, and you really need to pair these with solar and wind. So, you know, the more solar and wind you get, the more megapacks you need, and then the more solar and wind you could put up, because you're not having negative prices, and then the more megapacks you need from that. So I kind of agree with Elon. The market for this is, I'll say, near infinite.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gotcha. I mean, didn't we hear?
I would say, though, there's limits to lithium. So in our Tesla research report, we're not as optimistic on lithium. We're a little cautious on how much lithium that Tesla can get their hands on. But if they're able to, then you know, they don't have to choose between lithium that goes into cars versus batteries. But right now, these mega packs are more profitable per, you know, ounce or kilogram of lithium. You know, looking at the battery, if the battery is a currency, the mega packs are more profitable in our minds. We think the margin is above 40%. Tesla's just, I think they're being coy about it. That's our opinion. So it's like, that's kind of wild to think, but Tesla isn't, you know, suddenly going to stop making cars or lower their production on cars to, you know, really boost Megapack. But I think they're definitely going to emphasize it for sure. I don't think Shanghai is going to be the last mega factory that they announce.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. So, can you tell me a little bit more about so this is not just utilities, not just peaker plants, not just all that, but it's also commercial too. And wasn't there an announcement by Apple? They recently released a video that Apple actually, bought a bunch of megapacks and they're serving themselves. And then related to that question, I've been told by some people that when companies and commercial companies buy Tesla Semi, they're going to need to buy megapacks and have solar rooftops to power those in their inner factories as well. Do you believe in that? Is that going to be a bigger business than we think?
I would say so. I didn't think about Apple. So that they don't, the megapacks aren't sitting there next to their beautiful campus, but they are connected in a way that serves Apple. Corporations are incentivized to do this, especially the one like the data centers and the data centers that use renewable energy. But other corporations, if you just want backup power, if you have a dirty grid in Indiana, we have our power go out intermittently. It can be short, but it can be disruptive. You mentioned Semi. So yeah, each of these mega charger stations for Tesla Semi kind of needs to have a mega pack paired with it to kind of balance or smooth the power draw from the grid. Because even at the Tesla superchargers, Tesla does pay a higher rate for the power because they're pulling so much power at certain times. But when you balance that over time with a battery, it lowers Tesla's costs. So Tesla may be even a customer, but in the case when Tesla does it, you know, they don't recognize it as a profit. It's just an asset for them, but it's an asset that hopefully saves them some money. So, you know, if Tesla builds out more solar with these superchargers, or, you know, once you have the Cybertruck or semi chargers, they might have more solar in these parking lots that they're attached to. You get Megapack paired with it. Tesla Semi, I agree. It should be a big thing. We're kind of waiting. Once they get the Semi production automated, I think it may be done in Giga Texas. I may be wrong. Maybe it's Giga Nevada, but I don't think it's automated yet. I think it's manual process. So we're kind of waiting on that on the semi front. There's also like individual small business owners that have done this. I've heard of a small business owner in Chicago. Chicago, you know, they're near some wind assets. So the power goes negative, I think, in Chicago or something like that. So that entrepreneur has bought power cheap and, you know, sold it higher, but also used it as a backup for their business. It could be very handy in many different ways, and it's great in Australia. The fluctuations in Australia and the amount of renewable energy that they're going to are tremendous. The economics there are great, but we can't apply those economics everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand. So we just talked about how every supercharger, there is a plan that they're going to have solar powered so that it's actually free, but then they'll need to have megapacks there as well. Megapacks are used everywhere. I have a special request and ask for you that I'm very, very personally interested in, which is I have a belief that Tesla, in their master plan, part three, that they will at some point announce a solar farm. A lot of people are telling me that doesn't make sense. Solar panels are a commodity. It's not something that Tesla can, you know, kind of innovate on necessarily. But I just keep thinking that in order to do the sustainable energy master plan part three, there's three pillars. The number one pillar is energy generation through solar. And so why wouldn't they do solar farms? And if they had a massive solar farm just to prove that they can power, let's say, Texas, just to get started, wouldn't they need to have mega packs for that too? Yeah. So what's your guess on that? Or do you just not disagree with me? Or what should...
Let's get super wild. Why not have TeslaBot be the ones that build out this massive solar farm? Maybe it's in Arizona or New Mexico, and you connect the power lines wherever you want to go. You have TeslaBot building it out. You station Megapack there. I think it's certainly possible. Or they keep showing putting this farm in the Sahara. The Sahara is pretty hot, but TeslaBot doesn't care how hot it is, and TeslaBot can recharge itself in the
with the power.
Yeah, TeslaBot could make the Sahara into like green Eden. Like that's even possible over time. Yeah. I think I'm really excited for the potential for clean energy, less expensive energy, and all the investment that's going to happen to make this happen. We're talking about hydrogen. Hydrogen would be used when power goes negative or when it goes toward a zero price. So if you can use that electricity to split up water to get the hydrogen, split the hydrogen and the oxygen, then if electricity is free or negative, then you're going to do that, and then you can use that hydrogen in things like maybe airplanes. They're already able to store hydrogen in salt caverns, and they're doing this in Texas, and they attach that to pipeline. It's been happening for a couple of years, and we haven't heard about anything blowing up in Texas. And the name of that company is Linde Hydrogen, L-I-N-D-E. And they've been doing it for a while.
Okay. So lots of incredible potential ideas. Yeah. And then we've been hearing every time Elon talks, these earnings calls or whatever call it is, he always pleads for more lithium refinery, lithium mining. Yeah. So like you said, that seems to be the potential rate limit, that because the market is so big, the opportunity is so large, and they're just starting to ramp up. But once the beautiful thing of what you said today is that the Lathrop is now nearing, production capacity by the end of this year. But they built it, they're moving fast. They announced Shanghai should be faster. And then as they replicate these megapack factories, and then like you said, the customers, there's a 2-year wait list. It can be applied for anything. So it's really, you pointed out that as part of your thing, it's lithium is the concern. And we're hearing Elon continuously plead for that too. So that's really the only thing that will slow anything down would be the access to lithium, right?
Yeah. And the hopeful side would say that approvals are happening faster. There's projects in South America where approvals are happening faster because of the high lithium price, and these governments want to take advantage of it. So they're not slowing down the approval of these mines or of these ponds or, however they get it down there. There's some hope there. And I'm curious to see, how Tesla adding a refinery, Tesla adding cathode production. We just heard that Australia is adding some cathode production and maybe a refinery there. So instead of Australia, sorry.
Oops. Oh, that's your phone.
So instead of Australia sending its lithium up to China to be refined there and to get built into cathode precursor, Australia is going to be doing it in their own country and adding that value there. And then that lithium will qualify for the Inflation Reduction Act credits, and companies will be able to use that to qualify their vehicles. So I think it's exciting. It'll probably happen with lithium, but we just, you know, we didn't want to give Tesla full credit quite yet. As we gain more confidence on lithium, then we would give them more credit over time as we adjust our report, our projections.
Okay, wonderful. So Bradford, you are a financial advisor, just so excited and happy that you actually somehow decided you're going to do a deep dive in Tesla. You and Matt Smith together created a Tesla stock valuation report. And what made you decide to deep dive in energy? I mean, I'm assuming that's because you got excited about realizing it's a big business, and this is one of the things you saw even before other financial analysts are willing to model it out, right? Why did you, like, even what made you decide you're going to spend 24 hours a day? Yeah, all this work you're doing.
Yeah. I went to Lathrop in January to visit another company, and I thought I would go and see just where it was. So I went to Fremont to visit a company. Then I visited Lathrop as part of that trip. And what I saw was disappointing, but I don't think I went during the right time of day. I don't know what their production was then, but what I saw was, like, at best, like 5 or 6 a day. And I continue to hear about people who thought, oh, we're at capacity already, we're at 24 a day. Mm-hmm. And then February 7th, Dylan Loomis said, according to his source, it's 12 a day. That's what production is at Lathrop. So that's what really inspired me, and just the profit potential, I believe, is immense from this and greatly underappreciated. And that creates an opportunity for retail investors such as ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Bradford. Thank you for spending the time. You are unique because you actually sat there and evaluated this. You knew the whole business, and I appreciate you educating all of us. All right, everybody. So please follow Bradford, and he's got a Twitter handle at Brad S. Ferguson. Yeah. Brad S. Ferguson. His company is at hffinancial.com. It's Halter Ferguson Financials. Okay. Hopefully you learned something new. Please subscribe and follow Bradford and myself, and tell us what you think about Tesla Energy. I think that this is the information we needed to hear to remind ourselves that, you know, we do just need to wait 3 more quarters, maybe a year from now, and we'll start seeing earnings going up. And if that, it's like significant. What you pointed out was this is significant, at least 50% of what we're seeing now, if not equal, in the near future. So
yeah, and that's just crazy.
It is crazy. Thank you, Bradford. You're crazy, by the way. Appreciate you.
Had to be done. Yeah. It had to be done.